This week on Bad Takes in Boston, teams are making moves, the Giants and Cowboys are officially dead, mailbag, and more.
We'd like to start off this week's episode by making it perfectly clear to our listeners that we both believe our teams are dead. Our seasons are over.
Mm-hmm.
So
some of our seasons, some of us are Yankees fans, but it's okay.
Okay, well, anyway.
That was for last week.
That's true. That's true. You know what? I'll own that. But listen, we're done. The Giants are dead. The Cowboys season's dead. It doesn't really matter who's worse off, because you know what? I think my team's more screwed right now. And I can admit that to you. So this going forward on this podcast, unless some crazy circumstances happen where either one of these teams are relevant come like week 13, 14, we're not going to talk about our teams because they're dead. It's over. I'm just looking forward to April and the draft. I don't really care anymore. Honestly, it might just be until like Jerry Jones is, you know, kind of rolls over and, you know, that's it for him. But, you know, it's looking bleak in Dallas.
You might be wondering, because this is a bit of an unorthodox start to this show. Normally we start in conversation. It's playful. It's fun. Everyone's having a good time. We open with some news, maybe. Here it's different because today you decided to turn on to this podcast whenever you did. Maybe it's weeks from now, years from now, today itself. I don't know. You are witnessing a funeral. Two funerals, actually. Because we no longer have a reason, a legitimate, honest, media-based reason to get on our podcast that isn't explicitly about the Giants or the Cowboys and talk about them anymore, barring anything crazy or weird or interesting. We just can't do it every week. We can't, because it's over. Tomas got it right. It's something I feared early this year. Granted, he never really feared it because, you know, go boys. But, like, the...
That's true. As I'm looking at my signed picture of Jason Witten and Tony Romo,
I need to be honest, because you did have them at the fifth best team at one point in our power rankings. It must hurt more because you didn't even
I didn't even see it coming. Like a train.
Like very soon, we're gonna have to just start getting really into scouting and draft prospects, and we're gonna have a really fun March. But that's the thing about being a Giants fan, and because this is the funeral, we can really get into this. Before we get into the news, and obviously there's a ton of news, let's really get into what happened, how the collapse is going, and where we go from here. Because realistically, we're predicting top five for the Giants. I don't know what it is in Cowboys land, but...
I'm thinking top 12.
Yeah.
We're going to go into the bye week, and then I believe we're playing the 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
We're 3-3, so at 500, you're afloat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, is it really over? No, but they don't look like they're going to win any games. That defense is horrible. It's very obvious that Dak and CeeDee cannot carry this team. Because honestly, too, everyone's going to say, oh, well, Dak threw that interception in, you know, in the first half against the Lions when they're in the red zone. They're settling for field goals. There's truth there, but the Lions just disrespected the Cowboys. And knowing that Detroit is a perennial team in not only the conference, but the league, we're talking about a team that could really win the Super Bowl.
And that was a team at the beginning of the year you were like, we could hang.
You would think we'd hang, considering we beat them last year. Considering that, I know there was, you know, the whole...
Did you beat them?
I know you were going to say that. But... I know. But either way, you would expect it was going to be a competitive game. Dallas is at home. And for them to have gotten blown out and given up 40-plus points in the last four home games, including the blowout against the Packers in the wild card round, what is going on? And going forward, I don't know. I can't even really assess that until I see them come out of this bye and play the Niners. Because if the Niners beat them by 40... Which a part of me is leaning that they might just, they always have our number. They always do. We can never beat Kyle Shanahan ever. We look incompetent against him. And those are with some of our better defenses.
Yeah.
Right. I don't think Parsons will be back. I don't think DeMarcus Lawrence will be back. I think Deron Bland will be back, but like slot corner, whoop-de-doo, in my opinion. I don't think it really matters because of how many weapons
There's a
Bears
lot more things you
guys.
need on your
Yeah,
defense,
what a
but
slot corner is not going to solve all our problems, but
maybe a good corner under the age of 60 would be
any
like ideal for you.
well, all I'm saying is, depending how that game goes, is when I can really assess this. Because if they get blown out by the 49ers, I have really no reason to believe that they're going to make the playoffs. I don't think Philly or Dallas is going to see the postseason this year. It's going to lead to a McCarthy getting fired and probably Sirianni. But either way, after they play the Niners is when I can really, say, hey, we're going to have a top five pick, or we're going to, maybe be afloat for a little bit and make it interesting because we're Dallas, but I just don't see it.
It really does seem like the Cowboys are a team that, and it's the attitude is just so different because you look so defeated on the field.
Yeah.
Like you genuinely look like a team that doesn't want to be there, at least in like certain parts of like your defense
There's not
that
even
like
like a
really
pride.
like
There's not even a pride aspect of when they're just putting it on you, running up the score, running out offensive linemen, throwing hook and ladders to them to try and get them to score is one of the most absurd, disrespectful things I've ever seen in the NFL, in a sense from a coaching standpoint. Because it's not like the players, I understand they're playing, but like the coaches were like, yeah, no, let's embarrass them. Let's run up the score. There was no mutual sign of respect. They didn't care at all. And so once I saw that, I said, Detroit is different than Dallas. We're soft. We don't care. And soft teams won't win
Like you
football
could
games.
tell that the Lions are a team that ran during training camp.
Yeah,
Like you could tell
Dallas.
they just did
Yeah.
sprints after
Yep.
every practice,
Yep.
and that like Bill and Dan Campbell, sorry, I almost said Bill Campbell for some reason. Dan Campbell was making him do random drills in like the middle of camp where he was just like biggest O lineman, biggest D lineman, linebacker, running back. Everyone run each other. We're doing Oklahomas right now. Like you could tell he just brought that mindset there. And Mike McCarthy has actually nothing to
Nothing.
give to
He is a
motivate this
sack
team.
of fat potatoes. I'm sorry to get a little upset there, but I'm so tired of seeing this Santa Claus looking dude with his stupid beard, his stupid smirk, with his stupid play sheet, and sit there and call these plays and make it look like he's doing something. Everything he does, he looks like he's trying to oversell the fact that he's doing something productive. When he's not, he's a sack of potatoes. I really do feel like it's Dak Prescott out there just trying to figure it out 90% of the
Yeah,
time.
you guys screwed his career. You
Dude,
guys
it's
screwed
I
his
told you
career.
it's Tony Romo 2.0.
You guys
It
screwed his
literally is
career.
Tony Romo 2.0. Think about Tony Romo's career, how it happened.
Yeah.
When he was young, they made the playoffs, they just choked, right? Just
Yeah.
choked. We had that with Dak. We're now at, oh no, he's going to be super mid for the next 4 years. And he's going to be good again for 1 year, and we're going to get screwed again like we did in Green Bay. It's just, I don't understand. I feel like, does Jerry Jones have like a deal with the devil or something? Like, you got to understand the
There's probably
irony
a
in
few
this,
too.
right? You got to think about the irony in this for me, right? Like, I think you can see how it's the same thing all the time, and nothing has changed. I just don't get it. It's like actually the definition of insanity.
It's interesting you bring up the coach look because this is about a little bit of a boomer take, and then I'll go on my Giants thing in a second. But the Cowboys coaching history is filled with so many dudes that had crazy sideline aura.
Yes.
Jimmy Johnson, Tom Landry, well, like Butch Davis, like Bill Parcells. Like, are you kidding me? Like, these are some of the most like
Dogs.
commanding, respected, like cool dudes ever. And for Jerry Jones to be like Mike McCarthy, the guy who screwed up Aaron Rodgers' career, that's going to be the dude that's going to lead this troubled franchise into the new, like, into the 2020s, insane to me. Actually, it blows me away. For the Giants, I got three names. And with them come three reasons why we failed this year. The names are, for different reasons entirely, Andrew Thomas, Daniel Jones, and Jalen Hyatt. I'm going to start with Jalen Hyatt because it's an example of both just one guy who doesn't care anymore, who doesn't want to be here, who doesn't want to be a part of this team, who doesn't want to grow anything, who doesn't like see any point in being a New York Giant, who at the same time, and many people don't know this, we got him in the third round. If Jon Michael Schmitz wasn't available in the third round, in the second round, the Giants would have taken Jalen Hyatt with a second round pick. They were that high on him. Brian Daboll was talking about it. Joe Shane was talking about it. They believed in him that much. Currently, if you watch the Bengals game like closely, where like you're like, oh my God, Jalin Hyatt's getting half the snaps. Obviously, his over 1.5 receptions is going to hit. Shout out Teddy. He didn't do it because he didn't try. They put him in press coverage against these bad corners
Bums.
bums. They put
Bums.
him in press coverage, and the whole time I'm thinking, okay, one high safety, press coverage. This man destroyed Alabama on just a bunch of fly routes. We can make something happen here. Daniel Jones had deep ball. There was a full RPO. Go back in the game. I watched this. I don't know exactly when it was. I was at the game, MetLife, crazy atmosphere until the very end. There was
How
a
I've never had, how was that? How was that?
very, I'll tell you a little sidebar. I was just telling Mel about this. Melanie, my girlfriend, love her very much. Hi, Mel. I was just telling her an interesting thing about going to a game, a Bengals game, is that there'll be a lot of dads, and I saw this like 8 times, where like it's a Giants fan dad and a Bengals fan daughter. And I think it's just, and I
Interesting.
was like shocked. I
That
felt
really
like,
interests me for a couple reasons because I have like some examples in my head that I'm like, the only Bengals fans I know. You're right. Yeah,
And
okay.
I think it's just a Joe Burrow effect thing. And
It definitely
I don't
is.
doubt their like legitimate fandom. I just think their dad was like a Giants fan. They watched it as a kid and they're like, no, I'm gonna choose my team and like when I'm a little bit older, I guess. And everyone loves Joe Burrow for different reasons. Very
Yeah.
good looking man. They just chose him. But anyway, back to Jalin Hyatt. I'm sorry. And
I
trust
was
me, I will get to
curious.
the
I was curious.
no, because it all comes full circle. We got
Okay.
Daniel Jones to talk about. There was an RPO where Daniel Jones straight up, he doesn't hand the ball off to Tyrone Tracy. Darius Slayton's running a crossing route on the other side. This is going to be a quick out, like a 3 yard and out to the sideline to Jalin Hyatt. Jalin Hyatt slips. Daniel Jones stares at him for 3 seconds, and Jalin Hyatt decides to give up on the play. Daniel Jones gets blown up. For a man who was demanding carries, and for a man that who this front office thought was potentially worth a second round pick, that is insane to me. I will be at this point ecstatic when he's gone because he doesn't care to be there. He doesn't care to be
I
there.
just want to make a point. I told him last year that he wasn't good, and Jack did not believe that take. And you know I'm right. You know I'm right.
It just felt like we got this guy who, if you, and I'd never
What?
really.
If he was actually good, why do you think they let him fall to the third round, dude?
Because of all that guff about the Tennessee offense and how the Tennessee offense is fake, and I'm like, that makes no sense. This destroyed Alabama. This almost destroyed Georgia. This was a running all over the SEC. And I'm thinking, all right, let's imagine the haters are right, and he does just run straight. Daniel Jones has a good deep ball, so it shouldn't matter. And maybe that was the plan, and that gets me into Daniel Jones. You know what his average depth of target was in that game for completions?
I don't know.
About 2.8 yards.
Oh, I was gonna say 2.3. I'm not gonna lie to you.
2.8 yards. He makes horrendous decisions, and I think after listening to last week's pod, I realized that one of my only moments of pure like inner sobriety, it was my soul speaking to me, is when I said to out loud, I was like, we can't do this. Because like I was feeling good about DJ. I was feeling good about the vision. Malik Nabers is coming back. Maybe something good will happen against the Eagles. But this man's not the answer. And we've wasted many, many years on him. You know, I remember when I found out we were drafting him. I was standing with my buddy Dan Lawson. Love you, Dan. Waiting to see Avengers Age of Ultron.
Wow, so this was a while ago.
Long time
Yeah.
ago,
Yeah.
we were waiting in line for the movie, and we check on our phones and we see Daniel Jones just got drafted. And we fell to our knees on the sidewalk in Ridgewood, New Jersey, and we were like, no, this can't happen. Then he goes ups and downs, up and down, Buccaneers game, Commanders game, almost breaks the single season ta passing touchdown record, and just consistent mediocrity. Except one time, new coaching staff, we could do this. Isaiah Hodgins isn't a wide receiver one. We just beat the Vikings with him. Our O-line's still not good. Evan Neal's playing right tackle. We got Tyree
Isaiah
Phillipson.
Hodgkins on one leg, too. I remember he was
Yeah.
hurt that game. I
He's a
remember
gritty
that.
guy. He'll forever be a Giants legend. I'll always love him. We signed him to an insane amount of money with an insane injury clause. And frankly, there are many times where I think it's a not no ball take to say that there wasn't a team in a scenario where he could have been really successful. That scenario was never the Giants. It was never the Giants. It was either our weapons or our O-line or even him. It was one of the three. And there were times where it wasn't him.
Because I'm trying to think of it. The crazy part about me, the way the Giants like constructed their team was, we're gonna draft Daniel Jones, and then Saquon was after him, right?
Yes. No, he wasn't. Saquon had Eli Manning for a year. It was Saquon, then Daniel
So
Jones.
either way, they drafted a quarterback knowing their best player, Saquon Barkley. Hey, we're gonna run the ball, take some pressure off him. And I felt like they, I mean, I know they tried to, but they really believed in their draft picks for a way too long. And it's not even, hey, like we're gonna cut you. I mean, you can keep him on your team if you want to keep him on your team, but to not sign anyone to compete with him blew my mind. And you wondered why you were basically banking on your offensive line to turn out to be good, and it never did. And the and it
Well,
just it
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 did. It did this year. We're a good O-line this year.
well,
We're a very good
but the
O-line.
point is, you're it doesn't it's never there's no consistency with it. So if you do have a year where Daniel Jones, like he did, goes to the playoffs, you go, all right, we're good. We're feeling good about it. But no, now you have a great offensive line and there's nothing to talk about. Who cares?
But you know what? And it's almost like we rehearsed that, but we didn't. And that brings me into the final pillar of why I can't in good faith speak to you people anymore about the Giants, unless something cool happens, like we said. Andrew Thomas. And this kills me because unlike these two guys, this is a guy who cares. Granted, Daniel Jones cares and I think tries, and I do think was partially screwed, but Andrew Thomas has played amazing football. Andrew Thomas could be a starter and a very, very good starter on every single team. And outside of maybe San Francisco with Trent Williams when he's healthy, I can't think of a team that he would be a downgrade at left tackle for, realistically. The man is probably the most athletic offensive lineman in the NFL, the way they use him on like mass fan protections, where like he will be the one-on-one in a sea of space against like some of the best defensive tackles in the league. And he will just hold them up when he's healthy.
But he can't stay on the field.
He can't stay on the field because you know who he is. And it's a real full circle moment for me because I unfortunately made this prediction earlier. Tyron Smith.
Best ability is availability.
Best ability is availability. He was playing, I remember last year against the Cowboys, Micah Parsons got a couple bad pressures and maybe a sack against him. And then it came out that his hamstring was like torn that whole game. He was playing on a torn hamstring. Misses the entire year. This year, he's playing great football, clearly has missed a step, hasn't been playing as well. Like Jermaine Illuminor was actually playing a little bit better than him pass protection wise. Granted, he was going against better defensive linemen, but you could tell there was something off. And all of a sudden he's got the surgery now that ends the season. And we got Daniel Jones going staring down his injury clause. And we're talking right now about having Evan Neal play right tackle because they're going to move Illuminor to left. Having Evan Neal play right tackle, who was awful at every time he's ever played. Rookie year, second year, preseason this year, he was awful.
He's just bad.
Or
He's
Josh
just bad.
Azudu, who wasn't even a good pass blocker as a guard.
To now
And
be more athletic and play
to
tackle.
now tell that guy, hey, go against dudes who are 30 pounds less, have 40 times that are like 0.5 seconds quicker, and you're surrounded by way more space. Because when you're a guard, you can at least just bang around and like slam the dude into the center or slam him into the tackle, and it covers up not being athletic. I know it from experience. Like, if you move that guy out to tackle, it will destroy us. And you know what? He's probably going to do it. So now it's done. Circle the wagons. We're on the Giants season. We're not making it to Wyoming this year, guys. The Oregon Trail is done. We are not continuing. It's a done season. Daboll, I still like you. Maybe something big's going to happen. If we get a good quarterback, I think this team can be good, but it's done. It's over. Sorry, guys.
I also think it's really funny that we started this podcast with saying, hey, we're not going to talk about our team, but have spent the entire time after saying that talking about them. So let's get into
Well,
some.
this is a, it's not a, it's a partially a funeral, but it's also a celebration of life.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
A sad one.
Sad one. But you know who's not sad?
No. I don't know who's sad. Tell me, Tomas.
The Jets fans out there. I think they're back. I think the Bills fans are also feeling pretty damn good. I mean, news, Devontae Adams reuniting with Rodgers in New York or New Jersey, however you want to say it. And Amari Cooper going to Buffalo.
Yeah, that's huge.
I think that's huge. Let's talk about this Buffalo thing first, because I kind of mentioned this to you earlier, but now that Amari Cooper's coming in, you're now able to put Shakir back in the slot where he played last year, where he is going against slot corners, maybe some like off-ball athletic linebackers we see sometimes, or like a safety. And realistically, I think Shakir is better playing inside versus outside. Keon Coleman is obviously not ready to be that guy. Hey, go sit down. Go sit down, Rook. Learn from a guy like Amari Cooper,
He's got a
who's
ton of
really good.
potential. He's got a ton of potential for this team specifically. You don't think
Yes,
so? You think
I
he's.
think so, but man, he's got to figure it out a little quick, sooner rather than later. I don't think they're going to give him a lot of leeway. Hey, by the end of this year, let's start seeing you make some plays, because he's only scored what, one touchdown this year, and it was because nobody covered him and he just ran right into the end zone. Secondly, Josh Allen. Now you have a wide receiver one, a true one at that. And if you look at the Bills' losses this year, and the big one I'm going to highlight, honestly, I can highlight all of them. If you really think about the games they lost, maybe besides the Ravens
Well,
game,
the Ravens game is
I mean, it got
it,
blown out, but up
yeah.
until the point, there was a point where it was like a two possession game and the Bills were about to score and Josh Allen fumbled and that's all she wrote. But it was because their receivers couldn't create separation. And it's almost like teams were able to scheme Dalton Kincaid out of the picture. At least for me, watching the game on Monday night against the Jets, is a lot of Kincaid's targets were quick into the flat. Quick into the flat. Or even like a tight end screen to him, just give him the ball and some space. There was nothing over him or the middle of the field, to the sidelines, because Shakir's banged up. You're not really worried about anyone else beating you besides Dalton Kincaid in that offense. Like, think about it. And I mean, that's why they were able to run the ball effectively. I mean, once you're able to run the ball, you can, spread it out and do whatever. But it just surprised me that that's how one-dimensional their passing attack is. And a lot of it too is Josh Allen playing hero ball, and he's just damn good at it. So, I mean, Amari Cooper is definitely going to help this team.
It's well, and people also forget that like Amari Cooper was good this year. Like he was a real highlight on the Browns offense.
People
Like
forget Deshaun Watson is really bad.
yeah, and he would make insane, like genuinely, and I'm not going to tell you which team it was against because context clues in the episode, guys, but there was a play, first drive they had against a team that will not be mentioned right now, where Amari Cooper makes one of the most insane catches I've ever seen against a great coverage, and a lot of, I'll be honest, less experienced receivers wouldn't know to do due to the way he like contorts his body around and makes a play on the ball and also is able to run with the ball after he catches
He's
it.
a seasoned vet, and he's probably one of the most underappreciated receivers in the league. And I think Josh Allen is going to make him so relevant again. So I'm excited for Amari Cooper. And
Well, I got one more thing to say about that.
okay,
If you
go
well,
ahead.
I feel as though if you're a Bills fan, aside from like the just pure ones and zeros of the move,
Okay.
it's a good sign because your front office is saying, we see the issues. And they're also kind of admitting, due to getting a 31-year-old receiver, because he's kind of unk now, there's not a lot of time with this Josh Allen like insaneness left, which is a little scary, but it also shows that they know. And they're not banking on the Khalil Shakir number two experiment banking them the whole year. And I think that's a good sign.
I agree with you. That's a really good point. And on the flip side, let's talk about the Jets.
Yeah.
I like another aspect of the Amari Cooper trade. The Jets trade for Devontae Adams same day, Amari
Yeah.
Cooper to the Bills. I was like, that was cool. I
That.
was like, that was cool. That was some AFC East divisional. I hate you. You just beat we you
And
we
if we
beat
recorded
you.
the pod
I
yesterday, we would
know.
have missed all
I
of that.
know. I know. And the fact of the matter is, the Jets say, all right, you beat us because my field goal kicker can't make a 25-yard field goal. All right, let's add Devontae Adams. The Bills go, aha, okay, cool. Amari Cooper, let's go. I thought that was really cool. And if I'm the Jets fans, I feel very good about this, because in my eyes, Devontae Adams is still a number one receiver by far. By far. That game against the Ravens that the Raiders won early in the year, dude, he went off.
He showed he still had it for sure.
He still has it. No doubt in my mind, he still has it. Now, think about this Jets offense, because Breece Hall looked good. Braylon Allen has showed his spurts. We know what Garrett Wilson can do. Rodgers, when he's on, he looks like Rodgers. Lazard, for some
Well,
reason, is relevant.
he looks like Dollar General Rogers,
But
but
he shows flashes, all right? I'm not
yeah.
going to say that his play is the whole reason they're losing. I'm not going to say that. Because, dude, his wide receiver two is like 34-year-old Alan Lazard. Like, what are we talking about?
Alan Lazard's not 34.
Dude, I think he is.
No, he was. I remember him in
Alan
college.
Lazard
He's
is.
definitely younger than that.
Dude,
Definitely.
how would he. Oh, he's 28. Ooh. I mean, still, he's 28.
And he was like an
Mike Williams
old.
is 30.
Yeah, no, I understand.
And so the point
I.
I'm saying is Alan Lazard is not a wide receiver too. He was never a wide receiver too, even on Green Bay when their only receiver was who? Davante Adams. And
Yeah.
for him to come to this offense and be that guy for Rodgers is crazy. Now, I think about this receiving core is you have Davante Adams and Garrett Wilson. You can't double team them. There's going to be one-on-ones across the board. I think Alan Lazard is going to actually really start being open a lot. And Mike Williams, hey, bud, you go retire. Hey, go hang
Yeah,
him up, champ, because I'm sorry.
he gave his all.
As much, listen, I had Bills' money line and I was all for
Yeah.
Buffalo. But watching that game, the Jets did everything in their power to lose it. Mike Williams fell. If he doesn't slip on that last play where they picked him off, it's a 40-yard catch.
Yeah.
He would have caught that ball. Because no one, he that the defender was not going to be able to jump in front of him and pick this ball off if he was standing up ready to catch it. Because he slipped, the guy was able to jump in and make a play. And I
Yeah.
think that's a Mike Williams lost the if you want to make for one play, Mike Williams lost the Jets the game. He doesn't fall, he catches that.
Yeah.
They're kicking a field goal at least.
Well, we
At
don't know. I mean, if
least.
they kick a field goal, we don't know if that's going in anyway,
I
you
know,
know?
but
Like,
you're at least if they miss the
yeah.
field goal, Greg Zuerlein's out of the building on Tuesday morning. You know what I'm saying? But you had a chance and you still had a cool minute left to go 18 yards for a touchdown.
I believe
Not saying Allen might have not did some hero ball stuff because we know he can, but realistically, the Jets should could have won that game or maybe should have.
I'm gonna give a concurrence and dissent because I agree fully in the idea that this fully revolutionizes what the Jets can do on offense now. The critique that they were a very Garrett Wilson heavy offense at this point couldn't be more accurate prior to this trade. And it really was showing that, like, Rodgers can't just make something out of what he was handed with this team. And what it says to me is that, again, they are listening, they are making moves. This totally opens everything up. Everything you said, I completely agree with. You take guys who have a lot of responsibility, who aren't that good, lower their responsibility, tell them to do a couple things,
And
makes an
let
offense do
Rodgers
amazing.
go with Davante and Garrett Wilson, and it's us three, and I got Breece Hall, and we're good.
My dissent is where you talked about the fans being happy. And if I'm a fan, I'm excited, but I'm also a little confused and a little annoyed. Because why are we doing this after we just fired our coach? Why did Robert Saleh have to leave? Escorted out by his security, not being able to meet with his team. It's a very strange thing for a coach to involuntarily not meet with their team again. It's the anti-Brian Kelly, where the man's saying, "I want to be there, I want to say goodbye to them, I have relationships with them," and they're telling him he can't. That to me is very strange. It's very strange to do that. Similarly, with along with the timeline of them trying to fire Nathaniel Hackett. And then to do this, where obviously you can't divorce the Davante Adams stuff from the fact that he was in Aaron Rodgers' house literally Tuesday morning. It's weird. And it's a lot of
Also,
weird,
too, if you were
dysfunctional stuff.
going to make this trade, why now? Why didn't you make it at the beginning of the year? Why didn't you make it before you fired Saleh when they originally said, what, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, that Adams wants out?
It's
Why wouldn't you have given yourself Davante Adams? And then if they still lost with Davante Adams over these 3 weeks, then yeah, fire Saleh. But in my head, I think Saleh was an issue. I don't think.
He wasn't an asset. He wasn't adding. But all of this is fishy.
No, and I think after the year, it'll come out. But from the standpoint of Devontae being a Jet, I think it's really huge for them. I see them. There's no
Yeah.
reason if they win a couple games. I mean, we looked at their schedule the other day. I think it was me
Yeah,
and you.
yeah.
I don't see a world where they're not winning at least 9, maybe 10 games. Now Devontae Adams is there. Let's see what happens. Let's see what
They
happens.
do find ways to lose, and I don't think it's going to fix everything, but it's definitely, I think it definitely adds a win.
Definitely it helps.
Definitely adds
I
a win.
think it definitely helps. How about Justin Fields? You feel bad for him?
No,
Russell Wilson, and then that's what's kind of funny about it too, is that's who Russell Wilson's going to start. We're going to see Russell Wilson for the Steelers play against Aaron Rodgers and the Jets on Sunday Night Football.
Dude, if we're gonna stop talking about the Cowboys and the Giants, can we not talk about the Steelers anymore after this? I know we gotta talk about this because this quarterback controversy is crazy, but I hate talking about these dudes. It's so boring. They're always the same thing. You know, there's some interesting people to talk about, but like, goodness gracious, watching them play football, especially with like at a point where NFL defenses figure out the Justin Fields gimmick. And the gimmick isn't even there. He doesn't even run the ball that well anymore. It just makes
He
for
just
some
make a
nasty
cup.
football.
He just
Like,
makes a couple. Oh, you make, you know, kind of the play that doesn't make you go, oh my gosh, he's the best. But of, oh, that was kind of cool. Or, oh, that was athletic. You know, you kind of just be like, all right, you know, good play. Good play. And you have those moments a couple times throughout the game and they win and you go, oh, they didn't play bad. You know what I mean? But I will say this. Look at that Raiders game. There's a couple plays that led to touchdowns. One of them, I think, one of them he ran it in. But Justin Fields' athleticism got them in that position, got him in a position to score. And I'm sorry, Russell Wilson is not making that play. And because their offense is so bad, 7 means a lot. They're kicking field goals. I mean, hear me out. Hear me out. How bad does Russell Wilson have to play that he's done? Because guy,
Done,
we're
done, done in what sense?
no one is talking about the fact that like Russell Wilson's gonna play football again for real since what week? When did they bench him last year? 12, 14, or at the end of the year? He hasn't played, and honestly, too, he didn't have a bad year. It was the most solid. I'm gonna say like solid,
So
like
when you said,
solid.
so you mean done like benched again?
Yeah, like it's Justin Fields' team. How
Okay.
bad does he have to play?
Well, he doesn't have to play
What do you
bad
expect?
because,
What do you expect out of him, actually?
well,
That's more of a let's answer that question.
you know, it's always difficult to tell unless you play at Deshaun Watson levels of awfulness before you can look at a guy who was so insanely good and be like, you're done. You got nothing left. You're out of juice. And the thing about the Broncos last year, I watched a lot of That's Good Sports, Brandon Perna, big Broncos guy. I have a weird knowledge of the Broncos from like a fan perspective. Like I almost like engage in their content second most to the Giants because I like his content, whatever. The thing with him is that his stats were good. There were times where he would, compared to the Nathaniel Hackett coach Broncos, was just light years better. But the problem is he couldn't do the Sean Payton stuff. And he clearly was a little too used to the Pete Carroll, not in the political sense, but like in the definitional sense, liberal offense of kind of letting him do what he wants because he's Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
I don't, this Steelers offense,
Sean Payton was, you're gonna do it my way
yes,
or no way, and I don't think Russ liked that.
100%. And this Steelers offense, correct me if I'm wrong here, Steelers fans, doesn't seem like one that is really screaming for someone to be creative. It's looking for a guy to just do the X's and O's of Arthur Smith and the
But
game manager.
I just don't see how that's successful though. That offense cannot be. It doesn't matter if you even put like. I feel like you can put Patrick Mahomes or like Josh Allen with Arthur Smith. It don't change nothing. If they were required or forced to run that offense, what does it do for them, dude? George Pickens sucks. Severely overrated. He's like a diva. He's a drama queen, and he doesn't do anything good besides have like one game a year where he has
He
like
shouldn't
two
be wide
touchdowns.
receiver one. He can't be wide receiver one.
No, he
Like he
can't
and he
be.
probably wasn't drafted with that role in mind.
No, and because who's their next set of receivers? Pat Freiermuth, who doesn't catch a ball. Let's talk about the screens to Jalen Warren now that he's back. Van
Very Matt
Jefferson.
Canada. Very Matt Canada
Van
like.
Jefferson and who's the other guy? Calvin Austin. What are we talking
Yeah,
about?
those are guys who should be playing for the Edmonton Elks.
But if we're getting, but the crazy part about it is because they're the Pittsburgh Steelers and they have a, you know, a decent record. I mean, you know what I mean? They're staying afloat. They're gonna find a way into the playoffs, dude. I have a feeling they're gonna find a way into the playoffs because they're Pittsburgh. Because in my eyes, if Russell Wilson plays slightly better than Justin Fields, where they average instead of where they average now, they're probably what 16, 17 points a game to 20, 21 points a game, and they win every game like 20-17. Who cares? You're winning, and you're watching a decent offense. You're watching a competent offense Versus sometimes you go out there and see Justin Fields and you're like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You're doing too much. But the flip side is you're going to see Russell Wilson probably fumble the ball every time he's hit because his ball security has gotten definitely worse as he's gotten older.
100%. 100%. But I look at it and I just think like they win games with a bad quarterback who is winning off gimmicks. It really doesn't shock me to think that Russell Wilson would probably have a better command of a complicated offense. That maybe, and this is the most generous, benevolent take I can give for the Steelers fans because they still have a positive record. Mike Tomlin doesn't lose in the regular season generally, they always make the playoffs. You know, like maybe they open it up for him. Maybe they open up for him and it allows them to use people like George Pickens and Pat Freiermuth, who granted aren't amazing weapons, but just in more interesting ways where those guys do, like, as someone who has owned both of them in fantasy, like a sad amount over the last couple seasons, they have some times where they pop off 100%. George Pickens, especially, Pat Freiermuth more in the red zone. But, like, if you have a competent offensive coordinator who can, like, listen, man, like Arthur Smith, like, prove it to the world. Like, show us that you can game manage this team. No one's asking you to do anything crazy. No one's asking you to like rewrite the entire triple option offense and install the new pistol that like every high school runs in 60 years or whatever. Just do something basic, win games, and don't have the quarterback play poorly as a position anymore. That's all they need to do. And they have two guys who allegedly should be able to do that. And right now, it does, probably won't be either of them. Yeah, I mean, I just don't see it. Like, I mean, like I said, that's a generous
Okay,
take.
so we never even answered the question, how bad does Russell Wilson have to play for him to not start the following week? Because I understand Mike Tomlin, I think he's a very well-respected guy. And I don't think anyone in that locker room is probably, maybe besides like Justin Fields, is probably in his head thinking, yeah, why not let Russ just get a game? You know what I mean? Maybe George Pickens because, you know, it's Pickens. But realistically, you know what? Yeah, let Russ get a crack at it. He was supposed to be our starter. So if he's better than Justin and we're winning games, maybe he can help us out. I don't know. I think also, too, I'm more curious to see how Russell Wilson is going to be perceived on the field with his teammates. Because I felt like in Denver, there was a lot of memes of guys being like, dude, why do you suck? You
Yeah.
know what I mean? And now
Some of
I
that might have
wonder if
been
that's
media
gonna,
driven. Like,
you
it's a
never
little bit
know.
like you get Russ, he's a little bit older, and he had a
He's
bad
like
season with
mad
him. And then
cringe.
there's a new guy who comes in, and you're like, all right, like Sean Payton's won a Super Bowl. Sean Payton's been successful. It's probably easier mentally to take his narrative of this situation. And he is a little cringe, so that hurts him in the media. But yeah, I'd say in order for him to be done, a game where he's, you know, inaccurate, I'd say getting like anywhere from like half the throws to a little bit less, because that theoretically could be happening. And like a game where like he can't push the ball down the field or in the middle of the field.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
And if he fumbles, if he like gets like sacked and fumbles, then like honestly, as a coach, I'm taking him out there.
Do you see a world where he could get benched at like halftime?
No.
No.
No, the experiment needs a full game.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. So now we're gonna pivot. We're actually gonna talk about a game that's going on this week. We think the biggest game of we're gonna see. I mean, we have a pretty good slate. We have a
We
good
it's a
slate of
good there's
games.
a
It's a
lot
good
there's
slate of
a
games. But this Chiefs Niners, we get a Super Bowl rematch, and anytime you see that, you circle your calendar. But we're gonna do something a little different this time with this. We're gonna kind of go back and forth, have a little fantasy draft of players on both sides on why we like them in this game. Why do you think we're there, you know, why they're gonna do good, and kind of just have a little bit of a back and forth. So, Jack, since you presented this idea to me, you get first pick.
Well, so basically, just to further explain, we're drafting players, and we're gonna at the end of at next week, we're gonna analyze how they did from a fantasy perspective, and that's gonna see who wins the week. So I appreciate you taking me first overall here, man. I think that's a good get. I'll tell you what though, what's lame about this is that we're talking about the Niners, we're talking about the Chiefs, and with the first overall, I guess maybe this is why you were so gracious of handing it to me. There's no one that really just like jumps out at you as like, let's go get that guy. You know, like Jordan Mason's questionable even when he plays. That's not even just like a media thing, but he is actually questionable on their depth chart right now. I'm playing Brandon Ayuk in fantasy. I don't think he's very interesting. So give me something that I'm not confident in at all, and I would love Xavier Worthy with my first pick.
Okay.
You know, I don't know if Amari plays. It's difficult to say. If he doesn't play, then I just blew
Ooh.
it. Amari Cooper? No, never mind. Sorry.
You're thinking the Bills.
Yeah, I'm thinking the Bills. But that was a little Freudian slip there, gang. Anyway, Xavier Worthy. I like him more than Juju. I like him more than Justin Watson. Travis Kelce has destroyed us in betting this year. It's not
Hey, the
consistent
one good
enough.
game he had, I laddered him, so I'm cool. Me and him are cool.
Yeah, I'm not happy with him right now. And Xavier Worthy is a guy that I feel like Pat Mahomes is always going to get the ball to, whether it's on these stupid little jet sweeps or the or like some of the deep passes they do. He gets open. You know, he's not an amazing player by any means, but I think he'll get me some points this week.
I'm gonna go on the flip side, and I'm gonna go with George Kittle
George Kittle.
with my first pick.
Yeah.
And the reason why is he's a real football guy. When I think of football guys, and I'm talking like the Dan Campbells of the world when I'm describing him this way. But I saw this quote that he had of these are the he said basically on this upcoming matchup, on this rematch, is this is the game. This is why you play football. Games like this are why you play football. And I heard that and I saw that and I said, you know what? He's gonna want a little more on Sunday, more than anyone else. I understand he wants a Super Bowl so bad. And he's gotten a couple opportunities, hasn't cashed in. I think he has a big game on Sunday.
I like that. I can't disagree. George Kittle was definitely high on my list. But you left me open here, and I gotta go Debo. I gotta go Debo. I feel like he could have been a first overall pick for either of us, theoretically. I mean, the passing game is really struggling for the Niners right now. Brock Purdy is kind of being put in a position that previously wouldn't thought that he could even hit, on his own talent level. But it's too much for him. Like the no Christian McCaffrey, Brandon Ayuk playing like trash. Generally, I think it's just it's a real it makes me want to really hope that he's successful as a quarterback, Brock Purdy generally. But Debo's always gonna get catches. He always does generally well. He's only got one touchdown in the year, which is a little concerning. But the yardage total and the catches in general, it's gonna, I think, generate points in this scenario, and I'm out to win. I'm out to win.
Okay. My second pick, I'm gonna go with another tight end. I'm gonna take Travis Kelce.
Yeah, that's
And
gross.
I think because I have this little tight end narrative right now. They're both old guys. And I feel like this is a game Travis Kelce's gonna get behind. I bet Taylor Swift's there. Let's get real. It
100%.
it's the Super Bowl rematch. He wants to show out. He has obviously been getting more catches, more yards since Rashee Rice has went down. Why not? Maybe he gets in the end zone. Has he scored yet? Maybe.
Maybe he has one. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Let me fact check myself here. Travis Kelce. I don't think he does. Stats. I don't think he has a touchdown this year. Yeah, he doesn't have a touchdown
Wow.
this year.
And those yards are pretty weak
He's
for.
gonna get in the end zone.
Yeah, okay. Well, then you left. I'm going to go wide receiver again because I really don't care for the running game of either of these teams. I'm going to go Juju. It's cringe.
Ew.
He's cringe. No, he gets yards. I'm starting him in fantasy in my weakest league this week. He gets open. He's been getting open. He did well last time. You can't knock that. Maybe it happens again. You know, the Chiefs are special. Mahomes is special. The offense, Andy Reid's offense is great. You know, I think the man, I think it's a couple long passes, possibly some rack. Who knows, depending on how wide open he is. And I hope they scheme him open again.
Okay, who do I want with my third pick? Oh, I think this one's gonna be easy. Give me Patrick Mahomes.
Yep.
I'm gonna take Patrick Mahomes. It's the GOAT. It's going to be the eventual GOAT. How about that? Let me rephrase that. Another thing too, he's an underdog. Mahomes as an underdog in his career, 11-1 against the spread. And if you're really thinking about it, that spread's probably three or less. So if he's a 1.5 point favorite, I don't see really a world where he's losing by 1 point. The Chiefs are going to find a way to win this game. And I'm not really sold on it yet just because the
He's not a
Niners,
great fantasy guy. He doesn't do insane
I
numbers.
have a feeling this might be a game. One or two things are going to happen. The Chiefs are going to lose, and everyone's going to say, ah, they're not as good as they were last year. Or the Chiefs are going to play their best game of the year, and we're going to be like, ah, crap. They're going to win the Super Bowl. No in between. No in between.
For my pick, I feel like I
Your
successfully
last pick.
my last pick, my
Yep.
last pick, I successfully gaslit you to leaving me Brandon Ayuk alone. And I feel like I have secured a week one victory due to the amount of receptions my many receivers are going to get. And I feel good about that. Brandon Ayuk in general has not been good. I kind of think he's a loser a little bit. The fact that he held out so much only to not perform, especially when he had never really been performing at the level to get the money he deserved. Let's get four catches, 39 yards, and maybe something sneaky with some sort of running play where like we get him on like a jet sweep. I love a good jet sweep for this.
Your team is not good, and I feel really good about my guys, and so I'm gonna go with Kareem Hunt. He's definitely got a bulk of the carries last week. I see that only increasing in this marquee matchup. He can catch the ball, he can run the ball. He's a physical guy. He understands the offense. He scored last week. Why not get in the end zone again? Give me Kareem Hunt there, and yeah. So I got Kittle, Kelsey, Mahomes, and Kareem Hunt.
And I have Debo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Xavier Worthy.
Let's
Let's
see what
hope it's a
happens.
passing game.
I think we're both hoping for
I
that.
can't. We can't handle rain. Rain would look sad if it's like an 11-10 win. That would be lame.
I do have a cool mailbag for us this week.
That's fun. That's fun.
Let's set the scene first. Go back to 2015. It's the
Okay.
Super Bowl.
I'm wearing Nike Elite socks.
Okay, it's the Super Bowl. I think we all were. It's the Super Bowl. You're Pete Carroll. You're at the 1 yard line. We all know what happens. They had an opportunity to give the ball to Marshawn Lynch. You're in that situation. 2024 Super Bowl catches. You can give that ball to any running back of all time. Who and why? For 1 yard.
For 1 yard,
1 yard.
I have allegations that I have.
You get one guy, though. You can't say,
No,
like,
I
oh,
know,
one
no.
guy.
So listen, my immediate instinct was to say, for this, Brandon Jacobs.
You would say a Giants player.
And that's why, hey, I have alleg there are allegations that I mentioned the Giants a lot. So I'm going to be fun. And I'm going to be interesting. And if we're saying all time, the answer is pretty obvious. I think it's obvious. I think everyone who should be listening, take out and think of who all time. Every NFL team, every historic NFL team, there is one guy you give this to 100%, he's getting it. No doubt in my mind, that's William Perry, 85 Bears. Give me a 300-pound defensive tackle who can run a 4.8
No,
40.
dude, running back. It has to be a running back.
He played running back. He played running back.
Okay, then I
He
have
was a
mine.
fullback.
Okay, so
Yeah. In that situation, and if you're comparing him to other fullbacks, granted, like there's like the Mike Allstats of the world. There are the Peyton Hillises of the world. There are people who even like something gross like Kyle Juszczyk. Only one of those guys is 300 pounds. Only one of those guys is the fridge. Only one of those guys was the entire offense for it. One of the greatest teams of all time because he revolutionized what they could do in short yardage situations, bringing the game back to what it was 100 years before. That's insane to me. That's insane to me. It's got to be William Perry. No one is stopping him. Put Aaron Donald and Dominick Sue. Anyone you could think of on that defensive line, they are not stopping him in 1 yard.
Easily, Jerome Bettis. The bus.
Ooh. Yeah. Good get.
1 yard. I need 1 yard. You tell me that big dude is not going to rumble his way into the end zone. I mean, come on. That dude was a stealer. I mean, you get caught. Your nickname's the bus. You move some people around. You move some people around. That one was a no-brainer to me. I think Mike Onslaught is a together honorable mention. Because I think that would have been the only other person I would say.
Can I add to the question and add one thing that we could both answer to it?
Okay, sure.
Who's the line? If you know it's going to be a dive up the middle with just random NFL
One
running
guy,
back,
one guy.
one linebacker.
Oh.
Who's the linebacker you're choosing to get
I
that?
go to Jerome Bettis?
Yep. No, just
Oh,
an
no, but
average NFL.
in my head, I'm thinking Jerome Bettis. Dude. Honestly, because this was just my time. And I just loved watching him play. But I think I'm not gonna say an obvious one. I'm gonna say Brian Urlacher.
I think that's not an ob I don't think it's an obvious one, but I think that's a good one.
I think
I think
because
that's a good one.
I think an obvious one would be like, oh, Ray Lewis. But no, I think Brian Urlacher was one of the best linebackers in my eyes and in my generation, like growing up. I remember like playing football, watching Bears games when this was when they were kind of relevant when he was playing, and watching like Jay Cutler be Jay Cutler, and they had Brandon Marshall, and they had, oh, Lance Briggs.
He had a game of 25 tackles,
Yeah,
you know,
dude,
like
he was absurd. He was absurd, and I loved watching him play. So I'm gonna go Brian Urlacher.
for me. I also don't want to go with an obvious pick. Like Luke Kuechly jumped to my mind. Ray Lewis also jumped to my mind. But you just need a psychopath in that scenario.
Yeah.
And who is a psychopath middle linebacker who is just from the days of like linebackers in the numbers of the 50s, 40s, you know, cowboy collar around his neck? Give me Bill Romanowski. Give me a steroided out Bill Romanowski. Who just wants to kill somebody who has no regard for his fellow human being, who would look at that 1 yard against a 300-pound dude and say, I'm going to dive at this man's ACL before people even really knew what that was and ruin his life because I don't care about anything more than not letting him score right now. I'm telling you, Bill Romanowski, if for the listeners who aren't familiar, this man is a genuine psychopath. He's the only player I've ever heard go on podcasts and be like, I'm sorry for being at the bottom of a fumble pile and just reaching out and breaking the dude's finger just to make him not reach for the ball. Like, only person I could think of that did that. You know, it's in a situation like that where you just need freaks, give me that
Since we're now coming to the closing minutes of the pod, we know it's everyone's favorite segment. It's time to book it. It's time to give the people a couple locks. And I love mine, Jack.
I love yours too.
It's some plush
I love
chicken.
we go back and forth at the end of the day, but at the end of the day, we're great buddies, and I love this pick.
Pat's money
I
line
love this pick.
in London. In London, the Jags are so done. I can't wait for Doug Peterson to get fired. But if you watch the Texans Pats game, which for some reason I watched that in. Entire game. Shout out Drake May over passing yards. It was never a doubt. But I watched a team. I understand they're getting blown out. But when Drake May was kind of just let, just they kind of just let it rip because they were losing by so much. They looked pretty good, and they were able to move the ball down the field. DeMario Douglas, Pop Douglas, looked really good. Looked really good. If that's a guy you have in fantasy or you want to trade for, pick up on the waiver wire, he might be interesting. He looked really good. And the Jags are just bad. They're bad. Their defense isn't good. I don't think it's all Trevor Lawrence's fault. I really don't think that because let's get real, he made the playoffs. Like he was a playoff worthy quarterback. And he doesn't play like I hate to do this to you, but like Daniel Jones. He's not that he doesn't play like
That
that.
was a cheap shot.
But in my head, I would see I mirror him more of like a Kirk Cousins on a really bad team.
I intro this book it with how much we love each other, and you smack me when I'm down.
Well, you understand. I think you understand what I'm
I
saying.
understand the
I
point you're
think you
making.
understand the
Yes, I
point.
understand the point you're making.
And that's what gets me. That's what gets me with this team. Give me the Pats money lines plus chicken. Get it while it's hot because I feel like it's gonna move.
Something I think that's interesting about this game, and specifically betting the Patriots, is that the reason why it's so plus is because we have to understand that the Jaguars are London's team. And you might be like, yeah, what does that have to do with it being plus 200 for the Patriots? But you have to understand that Europeans, specifically like young European men, similar to us, gamble at a much higher rate than they do in America. It's actually interesting. There's quite a few people in Europe, like a sizable amount of them. I see this a lot circumstantially, and I've heard this from many people
Oh, so
that
you
get
think,
into the
oh, wow.
NFL.
So you think they're seeing this and being like, Jags, only 5.5 point favorites? Give me the Jags.
Currently, the spread bets are Jaguars minus 5.5, 50%, 50-50 down the middle for the spread. 73% of the money is going into the Jags right now.
Oh, my line?
Yes.
Wow.
This is getting juiced by a bunch of British guys, and you know what? I'm happy they're fans of the sport. I'm happy the sport's growing. But they don't really know ball.
No.
They know soccer. They know
Cricket?
beans on toast. They know nasty food.
Cricket?
They know Love Island UK. They know cricket. Yeah. I
What's the
mean,
other one? The one with the hoop. Not the hoop. The things you put in the ground.
polo?
That, but what's
Polo?
the other one? There's isn't
Oh,
that in it?
croquet?
Croquet.
Croquet, yeah.
Yeah.
And they're just like, oh, lads, let's get down to the sports book and we're betting the Jags, and then we're gonna go get some pints and watch the game at the pub. That's what's happening right now, and it's gonna make us all rich.
Yeah.
I love it. I love that bet, Tomas. And remember, guys, and we don't get patriotic on this channel often, but always remember, Would a good American bet on the Patriots to lose in front of a bunch of British people for a team that doesn't want to be in America anymore? I don't think George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, or dare I say it, even Bill Clinton like that very much.
Pat's money line, book it.
Tomas actually took mine, guys. Not that it's his fault. We did talk about it, and he wrote his before me, so I can't be complaining that much. But I had to dive deep into this one. And I feel like I got some good reasons. And frankly, it might shock you, this line, because I don't think it makes a lot of sense. Browns team total against the Bengals this week, rivalry game, under 19 and a half. You might be saying, Jack, Bengals defense, not very good. I say, statistically, you're absolutely right to this person who I'm speaking to, but I did just watch them absolutely ruin a very potentially what looked like a good, sizable Giants offense. Everything they did, they just worked perfectly. They caught home on the pass rush. They defended the run incredibly well. They just, everything we could have done went away. And I'll be honest, I'm comfortable saying it. The Giants are a better offense than the Browns. Everyone has a better offense than the Browns. 19 and a half might sound like an interesting number because this is a team, the Browns, that has not scored more than 17 points in the game this year. 17's the highest they've reached. That's very low. They're actually averaging about 14.8 points a game, which puts them offensively on par for my D3 football nerds with the 192nd ranked pass scoring offense in Division 3, the University of Minnesota Morris. Go Cougars. Amari Cooper's gone, guys. It's over. He was your best player by far. And currently, Deshaun Watson's offense consists of Jerry Jeudy, who is averaging 41.3 yards per game. Not awful, but if that's wide receiver one, yikes. David Njoku at 29.7. Still pretty okay, but that's not good. That's not good, especially for your second option. Jordan Akins at 16.3. And that's another tight end. It only gets worse from there. We're talking about Pierre Strong at that point, late round running back guy out of South Dakota State. And frankly, I'm not going to talk about Deshaun Watson because I'm tired of talking about Deshaun Watson. This is the week where he took a stand on our topics. And I said, I'm not talking about this Deshaun Watson anymore because he said everything you can say about him. He's just not very good. Browns team total under 19 and a half. Book it. I can't stand this team, man. I
Put a
hate
lot
watching.
of couple baked ziti's on that, huh? Couple beans.
Let's just say we're either going to the Grand or we're not paying rent.
We still gotta go to Grand.
We still got to
We
go to
still
the
gotta go to
Grand.
Grand. But all I'm gonna say is, I think the NFL is about to start getting interesting, Jack.
Oh, yeah.
I think the couple moves that have been made.
Trade deadline hasn't even hit us yet.
No, I know, I know. Someone's gonna make a move. Maybe the Giants. Maybe the Giants. We'll see what happens. I don't think the Cowboys are going to do anything personally because I don't think Jerry Jones,
Cares.
cares. But either way, thank you guys for listening. We're a podcast for the people, by the people. Remember that. We're Bad Takes in Boston, and we'll see you next week.